Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Craftsman Automation Limited investor call to discuss the financial performance of the company for the quarter and year ended March 31, 2023. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan Ravi, Chairman and Managing Director of Craftsman Automation Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Ravi.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for joining the earnings call. It gives me immense pleasure and welcome you all for the earnings call for the year ended March 31, 2023. The auto sector has seen a storm of headwinds for the last four, five years, either one turbulence or other, which has resulted in higher cost of ownership, lower affordability, restrictions on vehicle supplies, chip shortages, of course, pandemic. We all have seen a very turbulent four, five years. However, most of the headwinds are now receding, and now better absorption of the cost of the inflation is accepted by the end customer. There is a realization of pent-up demand, and a lot of improvement has taken place in the supply chain. The FY23 volumes were improving. Significantly, it has improved. Given the improving narrative of demand, supply, and margins, we expect the auto sector earnings to grow significantly on a flat base of five years. The company has acquired 76% equity of DR Axion India Private Limited for a cost of 375 crore, and this company is engaged in the manufacture of auto aluminum parts, mainly cylinder heads and cylinder blocks. I think we have also put up a presentation earlier on this question. I would just walk you through the highlights for the FY23, the standalone highlights. The turnover has been the highest, that is 2,980 crore, 35% growth over the previous year. But in real value addition terms, we have grown by 27%, and that is reflected in the EBITDA growth of 671 crore over 539. That is a 25% growth in line with the value addition growth of 27%. So, the EBITDA growth is 25. EBIT is 37 because the absolute depreciation amount has increased by only 10 crore, so that has increased in the EBIT margin, significantly raising to 37%. PBT has shown a 37%, and PAT, which has been aided by the shift to the new tax regime, has shown a quantum jump to 48%. The company has opted for beneficial tax rate of 25.168% over FY23, compared to the normal rate of 34.944%. CapEx stands at 309 crore, mainly to enhance technological upgradation and also to address all the bottleneck areas and balancing areas. We are, as you know, that we have doubled the sales in the last two years. The key ratios, one or two, three ratios I'd like to mention. Debt equity, of course, has moved from 0.63 to 0.72, mainly because of the acquisition finance what we have taken. The acquisition has cost us 375 crore. But the advantage has been the debt to EBITDA is 1.48. It was earlier 1.33. ROC has improved from pre-tax annualized from 20% to 22.5. EPS has increased from 75.94 to 112.53 rupees. Segment-wise results. Auto powertrain segment turnover has grown by 32%. That is, 1,154 was last year, and this year it's been 1,527. Aluminum has grown by 34% from 552 to 741. Industrial engineering has grown by 42% from 500 to 713. Storage business has increased from 376 crore to from 253 crore. It's a 49% growth. Auto powertrain EBIT has grown by 26%, 304 to 382. And aluminum EBIT has grown from 41 crore to 65 crore by 57%. Industrial engineering segment, the EBIT has grown by 89%, that is 33 crore to 62 crore. just run through the DRX in financials for 2 months. The sales has been 196 crore, EBITDA has been 22 crore, EBIT 16, PBT 12, and PAT of 11 crore. And the company, the net worth of the company is 253 crore, and it has got a term loan of 128 crores. So with this, I will leave the floor open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We also request that you restrict your questions to two per participant. You may rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhishek from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, despite sharp jump in the commercial vehicle volumes in 4Q, why your revenue was down quarter and quarter in powertrain business? And how is the outlook ahead in the powertrain business in the first quarter, given the weak outlook for the CVs and the tractor segment?
Thank you for this question, Mr. Abhishek. On the powertrain, on the Q4, there are two major pointers which I like to give. We have one segment which is domestic, one segment which is towards export, that is deemed export. It's also growing in a big way. There have been some marginal headwinds in Daimler in Brazil. Yes, you may be aware of the economic situation in Brazil, number one. Number two is that the supply chain, I think Q3 has been a good number. I think the product mix and the other things have not been favorable to Craftsman in Q4. The other point is the where the passenger vehicle segment has done well. Construction machinery and farm sector was very much muted in Q4. There was some adjustment in the farm sector business because of the supply to sales mismatch. I think these are the reasons for some minor correction in Q4. But I think that we are starting Q1 stronger. That means there is some minor adjustment which has taken place in Q4. Going forward, we see traction only in the third quarter or fourth quarter for farm sector and construction equipment. The first two quarters mainly will be driven by the growth in the commercial vehicle business and the passenger vehicle business. I hope I answered the question.
Thanks, sir. And sir, in the fourth quarter, how much value addition in each segment?
Fourth quarter, the value addition for powertrain was 241, for aluminium was 79, and for industrial engineering was 73 crores.
And sir, my last question on the industrial engineering business, how much in this quarter, there is a 20% growth quarter on quarter basis. So what is the reason for the SaaS revenue growth? And how much the export contribution in total industrial engineering business?
No, the industrial engineering business export number, I will just give it to you in a minute. Whereas if you look at normally the capital goods sector will see higher sales, or I mean the turnover will happen in Q4. That is one of the reasons. The industrial engineering export was for the year 116 crore. This is the direct exports, yes.
It's a direct export. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Senthil Kumar from Joindre Capital Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congrats for the great set of numbers. My first question is, can you give a breakup of exports and domestic revenue for Q4 as well as full year, sir?
Yes. For the Q4, the exports, the total number has been 53 plus 41 plus 116, right? How much is that? 60 crores has been for Q4.
Okay.
For the full year, 220.
Okay. And sir, in the last con call you have mentioned about a slowdown in Brazil region. What is the status now, sir? Any?
It is not still very clear. We are continuing to supply, but I think the economical, I mean, the country is not doing economically well. But I don't know whether there will be some correction going forward at a lower level or it may sustain. But as far as now, we don't see any alarms.
Okay, sir. And my last question, sir, on the raw material side, in the last quarter, you mentioned that we don't have a high cost inventory. But if I see this this quarter, raw material cost as a percentage of revenue is still higher on both the sequential as well as YoY basis. Can you say what is the reason for that, sir?
No, that is mainly because of the product mix. It is not because of high cost inventory.
Okay, sir. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of questions from my side. One is, if we look at the margins for VAT margins for aluminium and industrial, we have seen a good evolution on QOQ basis vis-a-vis third quarter. So are there any one-offs in the aluminium business where margins have improved from 4% to 11.4% or this is now normalization of all the cost on the job cost which is now reflected in fourth quarter?
No, I think what I would like to mention here is that it is not one-off, that is pretty clear. I would say that the if you look at the net block to the capacity utilization for aluminium has improved on the overall. I think I'll just get to the numbers on the, I think we'll look at the net block too. Yeah, I have this number now. On FY22, for the full year, the value addition of aluminium business on the net block was 42%. For the year FY23, we have ended up as 67%, that is the value addition to gross block, net block on aluminium products. And for Q4, it has been, value addition to net block has been 76%. Q3, it was 59%. So I think operating leverage is the main key for this improvement in margin in the aluminium segment.
Right. Okay. And but if I look at the value add, the numbers which you have given, second quarter was similar value add, slightly better in this quarter. But despite that, margins look substantially ahead. So the key point is that this run rate should sustain, if not improve, as value add further goes up with utilization improving.
There are two aspects to it. We had a little problem about the prices of aluminium prices dropping month on month a little. So I think there is a small correction which has happened in the previous segment. Now it has been pretty steady. So we are not impacted by that, number one. Number two, the product mix also is the passenger vehicle parts percentage has slightly improved and value-added products also have improved. That is two of the reasons.
Okay.
And the new products also has kicked in. I don't want to name customers, but we have started supplying to the EV also. These are currently coming at the normalized prices at the current levels.
Okay, this is EV for two-wheelers, right? Or for passenger vehicles?
It is EV for two-wheelers. So we are saying that we are getting new orders, and new orders have been quoted in the last year or two or something like that at the current trend of the prices which is there and the current operating costs. So I think product mix is continuously improving and it will continue to see further improvement also. You can see the lower end of the two-wheelers. Again, I don't want to make names here. There are significantly going down. Even the 100cc vehicles are going down. So now new models are being introduced as 125cc. So the product pricing also of the two-wheeler segment, I think has seen a 44% or 45% increase in the cost of the vehicle. Some things are due to the new technology getting introduced, but I think there is an upgradation of the vehicle as a whole. So I think the and EV also has come into the picture. It's a combination of many things. Passenger vehicle exports, not exports, domestic business has started.
Okay, okay. And similarly for industrial business also, we have seen a good margin evolution. So is that also linked to increased value add and increased utilization?
There are two aspects to this area. Normally, we have bunched up capital goods sales to our customers wherever they ordered, because gestation period there is long, 3 months, 4 months, something like this. And also the high-end storage solution business, that is the automated storage solution business, has seen some upswing. And exports also have done reasonably well in Q4. Yes.
Got it. Got it. And what was the revenue for automated storage solution for the full year?
For the year, we have done 374 crore in the storage solutions. In that, automated has been 110, and the static storage solutions has been 265. So this is a significant change from year on year.
And the 110 was is a sub 50 crore in FY22.
On the automated storage, in the previous year, it would have been, I think, less than half of this is what I guess I just fit into the numbers now. No, the automated storage. Totally itself, I think we were at 280 or something, and mostly it was static. Hmm?
So does that answer your question?
No, I think not fully, but I think the numbers, we'll trace the number. I think I'll get back to you during this call.
Okay, sure. I'll come back in.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from BCMPL. Please go ahead.
Hey, everyone. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Good evening. So my first question is with regards to overall revenue growth. And I'm seeking more. So basically, last year you have consistently maintained, a guidance of 20% revenue growth across segments. And I think you have more or less met that, except probably powertrain over the last couple of years. Now, when we look ahead in FY24, in terms of the auto end segments, market commentary suggests probably high single digit or low double digit growth. Especially in tractors and your primary MHCV segment, which has a high base effect right now. So I'm just wondering, across segments, can you just qualitatively comment on that 20% growth guidance? Would you like to adjust that? And what would drive growth in each of the segments individually? If you could just
help. Thank you. This is a very important question. I'll just try to read out the numbers now, first of all. We had grown on the top line on the powertrain last year vis-a-vis FY22 by 32% on the powertrain, 34% on the aluminum products, and industrial engineering was 42%. Having said that, as a company, we have top line revenue has grown by 35%, but in my opening statement, I had mentioned that the value addition has improved by only 27%. That is the real growth what we see as a company. But all the segments have done more than the 20% to have an average of 27%. To put a number correctly, auto powertrain has grown by value addition by 24%, aluminum products by 37%, and industrial engine by 38%, totaling to giving the exact weightage of each of the turnovers. As a company, we have grown by 27% on the value addition. So that number, whatever we say, going forward also, we will be growing 20% year on year on the value addition on each of these segments. What is driving the segments is the first, marginally it may be the growth in the existing product ranges or existing customer volumes. Yes, it is also new product ranges and new customers which are getting added, which have been ordered, orders have been secured long back. So these are the two key points which will drive even in the FY24 the 20% valuation growth in each of these three segments.
So regarding this, in your aluminium segment, regarding the large PV client that you won, Stellantis, I think. Any update on that order, when that will scale up? Because I think that would contribute to significant growth if that scales up this year.
Yes, it will be scaling up in Q3. It is already, this production has started, number one. And the other domestic SUV manufacturer, where we are also supplying some critical items, that is also starting by July, the production. Already the engine parts are under validation. So it'll, from Q2 onwards, we'll see upward trend. I think Q3 will be quite a high peak with all the passenger vehicle segment business also increasing.
Got it. My next question was on DR Axion. So I was looking at, so I remember in the last call regarding the acquisition, you had mentioned April to January 2023, the sales were around 890 crores, and gross margin was averaging 32%, and EBITDA margin was at 14%. But if I look at your two-month numbers, which you also called out, if I look at the delta between your standalone and consolidated numbers, the margins seem to have gone down a bit, 27% GM and about 11% EBITDA. Firstly, is this correct, what I have calculated? And number two, what is the reason for this?
What the numbers you are stating is correct. Factually, it's correct. But there is an explanation to the pass-through on some of the die investments, which has been done in March, quite a significant portion, which is a pass-through. It is not part of the sales. If you remove that and then look at the also the migration into the new accounting system, totally overall a little. So I think the margins will normalize at the even in Q1 at the we are talking about the whatever is the 10 months figure. There'll be no change in that. So I would say that the dies what we received is exactly a pass-through to the customer. So that has only inflated the top line for February and March, because we are looking at a smaller two-month period and trying to, and that number has offset the ratios, I would say.
Got it. And couple of very quick data-related questions. You mentioned the value-added number. I assume that the aluminum products value-added number does not include DR Axion, the two-month.
No, no. Whatever I'm talking about is always standalone.
Okay. And in Q4, can you please split out storage versus industrial? That's the last question.
Yes. Total industrial for FY 2023 has been 713 crore. Out of that, the storage solutions has contributed 376.
Got it. Okay, great. Thanks a lot. I'll get back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, could you share the growth outlook for all the three segments for FY 2024?
Oh, yes. We will do a 20% growth on value addition, maybe 20%-25% on the top line on auto powertrain. Aluminum will be slightly higher because there is no, on the value addition portion, of course, more than 20%, but on the top line also, we will be growing at 25%. Industrial engineering also in the similar range. The 20%-25% growth will be there on the both on the top line and value addition.
Just on the industry, on the aluminum side, so when we look at this quarter, there is this merger of this for two months, right?
No, on the consolidated, standalone, it will not be there.
Consolidated.
Yeah, consolidated, there is a merger, yes.
Consolidated, there's a merger, right? So when I look at your top line, for the... Just a minute, sir. Yeah, for 12 months, it is about 935 crore, in which 196 crore comes from consolidation, right?
Yes, you're right.
Right. And then there is a 10-month consolidation, so there would be a 1,000 crore odd consolidation, which has to flow in next year.
Yes, correct.
Right. So 1,000 + 935. That itself gives you about 1,900 crore type top line, and whatever you grow on that, is that-
We grow, we will grow at least more than 20% in Craftsman and maybe 10%-15% in DR Axion.
Okay. Okay, done, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Yash Agarwal from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Could you just give some guidance on CapEx for FY24 for the core business and for DRXN separately?
DRXN, maybe it is too premature for me to tell, I think, but the numbers will be maybe around 30-odd crore, something like this, is what we expect for DRXN totally. And or maybe lesser, I'm not sure. There have been not much change in that. It will not have any significant number. On the Craftsman standalone, I think that we are having a depreciation of around 220-odd crore. I think we are looking at overhauling some of the old equipment for refurbishment and also making it semi-automated in certain case of material handling. So we'll be looking at, we are preparing for FY25. So we'll be looking at a 320 crore or 330 crore capex. If we are growing at this percentage, so the actual delta capex, which is adding to the net block, I would say, net block will raise by, say, around 100-odd crore overall. But whereas our top line or value addition will be growing at about 20%. So we are getting improving ROC as we move forward.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. On DRXN, what would have been the value add for the reporting period?
See, the value add is calculated differently because I don't want to now confuse the entire equity. There is, it is a foundry-based business, whereas Craftsman is also foundry-based, but we are not much in the sand casting, mostly in the HPDC. Of course, there is gravity. But this DRXN uses a lot of... it's a cylinder head business, which is a little, the consumables are also quite high apart from the raw material of aluminium. So we'll arrive at a level number, how to state this going forward, because cylinder head is a very critical part and a lot of very critical sand and chemicals are used there. There are some imported sand also used there, which is also partly consumable, of course recyclable, but a lot of chemical is there. So we need to come to the exact percentage. But if you ask me on the basic raw material, we are on the aluminium front, we are in line with whatever the current operational level, slightly better than the operational level of Craftsman because it is a high-end product if I look at it.
Okay, okay. And considering that in this quarter we had some dye-related pass-through impact, any sense if we adjust for that, how have been margins, EBITDA margins of DRXN?
I think it would have been closer to around 13% is my feel. But we, when after taking over, we may have done, I will not say use a word which is strong, but I think some accounting practices and how they do the inventory calculation, everything, we have to be aligned with Craftsman because we have gone, we have moved to ERP, Oracle ERP as of April 1st. So we have to align with that. So there can be some adjustments and the period is too small and any small thing will take an impact. That's all. That is what is, I feel. It's a one-time aberration.
Right, right, right. And the DRXN for FY24, once we have full control, do you think we should be doing EBITDA margins upwards of 14-15% in FY24 itself, or that will come with a lag?
No, in FY24 itself, we'll be in the region of 14-15%. Only in case of very adverse commodity movement, because there the prices are settled on a trailing quarter. So I think you understand that. So if there is any big adverse movement, we have a decent inventory after we've taken over. So we'll not, and in ERP accounting, we have the average inventory value. So I don't think it will be abruptly changing just like one day to another. But I think even that we can withstand, even then I say that it will be upward of 13%, and if the aluminium pass-through is more perfect, it will be in the region of 15 plus.
Okay, and we expect DRXN to grow at about 15-20% in FY24. I admit that number.
It is too early to say that. 10-15% is a given, given the product mix and the customer base, whatever is there. you know, one of the customers is looking at setting up one more new plant in the western region. There is a new plant because they run out of capacity in the Chennai plant. If that happens and this business is awarded to us, I think, and when the production starts, if the production starts in the financial year, we may see better growth. But we know that customers are limited by their own capacities, and customers are also improving their capacities. And we are talking about only 3 customers for Dare Action. So that is a limitation which is will now limit the growth indirectly in proportion with the customer growth.
Right. And what was the utilization for Dare Action for fourth quarter?
We are operating at around 80% on the installed capacity as of December, but some capacity which has been invested by the earlier management has come into operation only in the late part of Q4, and some is coming into late part of, early part of Q1. But as a conscious step, we have already, whatever I mentioned, the capex of around 35 crore, something like this for Dare Action, we have factored in a capacity increase of another 10%. So we can have bedroom capacity by July, we have a bedroom for another 20%. I mean, to take in orders or take in orders.
The line for the current participant in the queue seems to have disconnected, sir. We will proceed with the next question, which is from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from BCMPL. Please go ahead.
Hi again. I just wanted to confirm something with respect to the last question I asked. You had mentioned that the Stellantis order is scaling up in Q3, and you also mentioned a domestic CV manufacturer. Did I hear that correct? Domestic commercial vehicle manufacturer starting in July.
No. Domestic SUV manufacturer, we have come in as a second supplier for a critical part. That is under validation. The engine is under validation. We'll be starting production in July.
And also, I just want to tie this to an order win of 150 crores you had mentioned a couple of quarters back, I think, in aluminium. What is that for and when would that start?
That is what I am now discussing in July, because everything is related to, as a second supplier, we need to understand that if the volume growth is not as per the customer anticipation, we may not be able to deliver. So, but we are confident that today the customer is bullish. So it will happen in Q2. That is the same order win which I am talking about.
Got it. And one last question is, I understand your overall growth guidance of 20% plus. Across segments for the year. My question is more with regards to Q1 and Q2 of next year, right? So in April, we already have seen MHCV volumes declining by 7-8%, both for Tata and Ashok Leyland, because of the upfronting of demand because of new fuel norms. So how do you see the remaining 2 months and even Q2 playing out in terms of volume? Do you see your growth in the MHCV portion at least flattening or maybe showing a decline on YY basis, or how do you expect that to shape up in Q1 and Q2?
No, the supply, I mean, the one good thing is about the product stock in the market or the retail is not much. So that way I don't see any drop in Q1 and Q2, but I'm very bullish about Q3 and Q4. Q3 itself I'm bullish on commercial vehicle business.
Good. Thanks for asking me.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chedda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
So just a follow-up. Is there any change in or increase in the working capital cycle because of Dare Action, or is it that naturally the working capital cycle for us has gone up? Because what I see is that the cash conversion cycle for your company between FY23 and FY24 has gone up by 20 days. Is this the new number that we have to take, or there is any one-offs?
The cash conversion cycle has come down from 60 days to 56 days for standalone Craftsman, but I think you may be looking at the consolidated.
Console,
as I mentioned, they are having a few, 3 to 4 days of raw material inventory, which we think it is not the right thing going forward, given the fluctuation of aluminium and the trailing quarter correction of the alloy prices. So we have raised inventory to close to a month now.
Sorry, we have erased?
No, we have raised, improved, increased the stock of raw material from 3 days to 4 days to now to 30 days.
So then your working capital's cash conversion cycle will go up further in FY24?
No. It is only for DRS and it is not for Craftsman. Craftsman cycle has come down from 60 to 56.
No, I am looking at inclusive. I am looking at the console. So
no, it is already done. Already inventory is, as of March, the inventory has increased. No further inventory increase.
So which means this is the new increased Craftsman console number. We will see a higher net working capital cycle, right?
I think what is misunderstood is we have only two months we have calculated. The inventory is, we have taken only 2 months consolidation for DR action. So that is only upsetting the number.
Okay, sir.
But if we look at 12-month number, it will be negligible. Even this number will further come down. I think on a console basis, the 56 days we may come down because of DR action. DR action is holding lesser inventory than Craftsman.
So we will operate at 55 days and lesser as we see the next year's number. That's how.
Yes, correct. Correct, sure. On a consolidated basis.
And how much debt repayment is possible next year after doing your 300 crore capex?
The financial cost, I think, will be on a console basis. You're asking for console basis, right?
Console, sir. Console.
Console, I think all financial costs, including lease, rental, everything, around 175 crore totally. Or, 150 to 160, right?
That's the debt repayment you will do next year?
No. I'm talking about the financial cost outflow. So that is an outflow and the tax outflow will be there. So depreciation, the EBITDA will grow in proportionate with the top line growth mostly. So yes, I think debt should come down by at least 200 crores.
Perfect, sir.
On a consolidated basis.
Perfect, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Prolin Nandu from Goldfish Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, sir, for taking my question. One, to start with the bookkeeping question, would be in this DRX1, what is the...
Sorry, the line is not clear. Sorry, I'm not able to hear anything properly. The line is not clear.
Is it better now?
Some
disturbance. Okay, let me join back. Let me try joining back.
Okay.
We have the next question from the line of Devang Patel from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. On DRIPL, if you can repeat, for FY23, what was the normalized gross profit and EBITDA margin? And what is the peak revenue margin that we are looking at here? And other than operating leverage, what do we need to do in this business?
No, operating leverage is improving month on month. I don't think the capacity will also get utilized by September. Full capacity will come into operation. The orders are sufficient enough. And for the full year, I think we have closed at around 14% EBITDA. Yes.
And peak revenue we can do with the capacity?
Capacity utilization has been, if you look at December capacity, it has been 80%, but some capacity has been already added in Q4. So looking at that, we have headroom for growth by another 20-25%.
So this company was doing 17% EBITDA earlier, if I'm not wrong. So can we reach those levels in the next 2 years?
Can you please repeat?
Can we go back to 17-18% margin in this business?
There has never been 17-18% margin in this business. It has been, I think, at a lower level, and I think realistically between 15-17% is what we can look at it if in a good year where capacity utilization is better. And of course, it depends on how we do cost management also. It can do better also. But I think 14% is the base what we are looking at, and 15-17 is normally achievable if there are no big headwinds. And beyond that, it will be management and operational efficiency, I would say.
Right, sir. And sir, you earlier mentioned EV business is one of the main reasons you also for which you looked at this company. So how soon could we be looking at orders for passenger vehicle EV business?
I cannot disclose anything, but we are already in discussion for parts for EV, for passenger vehicle, from DR Axion or through DR Axion.
This will be for domestic market or for exports also?
No, it is for domestic market. I think, yes.
Okay. And you also mentioned for electric two-wheelers, you got some orders. What is the content per vehicle of these orders? What is the potential here?
Then I will be upfront, open and little sorry, I'll be little blunt. Today the numbers are small. Even you look at the leading players and the content on aluminum for the addressable market, what we are in, is also small, and the value addition on machining is also small. So today is not contributing. What we are trying to say is that we are capturing the business, so we will continue to increase our trend. The conventional two-wheeler business is also coming back on certain segments, because post-subsidy, there are some fears about the cost and the total cost of ownership, not the running cost alone. So we are confident that the aluminum business will continue to grow as of now. So I think it is too early to talk about two-wheeler EV. We have to see it only after the FAME subsidies are completed, I would say.
Okay. Sir, and there is some news today about a panel talking about banning diesel and LCVs in cities. Do we have any diesel LCV exposure in our book across the two segments?
Diesel LCV or?
Diesel vehicles, not the HCV, but other than HCV, in the light commercial vehicle?
Light commercial vehicles are all diesel. Very few are, I mean, there are CNG, there are LNG. CNG is there. Yes, many of them will move to CNG. But we are not worried about that, because either way, the engine is required, the axle is required, the gearbox is required. I think for us, it doesn't make any difference.
Fine, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sushrut Gokhale from Caprice Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can I get the number of V-Store in Q4 and the revenue from the same?
No, I think that will be competitive data, which I will not like to share. But we are by far the market leaders. And the automated storage also, we are among the top two domestic players in the market. So this is very important in an emerging market. We will not like to, when it becomes a little more mature in a couple of years, I would like to share data.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Prolin Nandu from Goldfish Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir, for giving me this opportunity. So on a couple of questions on DR Axion. Now, you mentioned that DR Axion only has two to three customers, if I'm not wrong right now. We have a lot larger customer base. So how will this cross-selling happen between our company and the DR Axion? I mean, can you help us understand the pathway for the same?
Yes. I will explain the first business. The Craftsman business is predominantly high-pressure die casting, followed by gravity and a very low presence in the low-pressure die casting. And industrial engineering business, aluminum business, not industrial engineering, industrial aluminum products which are there is also the aluminum products, which is fine casting. So whereas DR Axion is 80% on the gravity die casting and 20% on the low-pressure die casting, is exactly complementing, or it is giving the benefit of scale on the low pressure and gravity. So I think the high-pressure die casting, which DR Axion doesn't have any facility within India, but of course, they have capacities and capabilities and facilities in Korea, that will be leveraged on in Craftsman's facility, whatever order comes in Craftsman's way or DR Axion's way, I think. But technology will be used both from Craftsman's side and from DR Axion's side to execute the orders, which gives a lot of comfort to the customer. One added point, which is a little hidden from the public view of the market, is that DR Axion Korea has been one of the key suppliers for the EV, I mean, passenger car vehicles in all the segments of the technologies of the aluminum manufacturing, including high pressure die casting and low pressure die casting and gravity. So that confidence of the end customer is there whenever they need to ramp up in India. I think DR Axion and Craftsman combination will have the benefit of the confidence of the customer, I would say.
So what I understand is that some of these Korean customers are already using imported material in their EVs right now, which can be ultimately substituted with our combined entity. Is that the right way to look at it?
No, sir. I think we have to look at it differently. They have just done seeding with the models on the high-end models, which are totally made in Korea only. They are not made here. So there's not to import of parts and assembly here. But there is a plan for, there's not a plan, it is a plan in action already under implementation for grounds up EV designed for Indian market and to be manufactured in India. So that is where we are targeting. Understood. Otherwise, those numbers will be minuscule numbers which have been already marketed in India. The names, whatever you're talking, whatever you're thinking about, I think they're only in seeding numbers. Those products will be remain high-end and too costly, out of reach of the common man. But the product is on the existing platform vehicles which are already being produced in India on the IC platforms. And these manufacturers are far, far ahead on the game. There have been many years, I think, on the EV game. So they have made assembly lines already compatible for EV, plug-in hybrid, and IC engines. And these vehicles will be launched anywhere between from now onwards to 24. I think 18 to 24 months is realistic to look at it. So those are the products which are the, otherwise the import substitution on the current products the customers will not do, the OEMs will not do, because the numbers are minuscule and they will be continually imported. And those models are not cost viable in India also.
Sure, sir. That's very clear. In a previous question, you mentioned that this opportunity of EV within DR Axion, right? So is that again for the low pressure die casting, or is that something which the parent of the existing DR Axion was maybe manufacturing, and that we have access to at a whatever royalty rate of around 2.5%, if I'm not wrong? So
yes, the royalty will come into place with the technology, whatever is being done on the technology being used on this low pressure die casting or new products getting developed at DR Axion. It's a 2.5%, which is the stated number. What I'm trying to say is DR Axion in Korea is having high pressure die casting, low pressure die casting and gravity, and they also have some squeeze technology which is they have patented totally. They have four technologies totally. In India, they're only in low pressure and I have been gravity, whereas Craftsman is also in high pressure. So we may do the parts according to the technology required to do the parts, either in DR Axion or in Craftsman. How it plays and how we are going to manage the development process, we have to develop on part, we have to look at part on part, and then we take a decision on this.
Sure, sir. So now, sir, coming back to our core business, the standalone entity, typically you do a capex of around 250 to 300 crores, that's our run rate. Could you break up this capex between how much would be maintenance and how much will it add to the actual capacity?
I will answer that with first the financial numbers so that you get a better a view of the how efficiently we are doing the capex. I will just look at the value addition to net block, which is a correct number to look at it, because some of the equipment are more than 15-20 years old. So we look at it for FY22, we have reached the level of net block to value addition 78% totally.
Is it value addition to net block or other way around? I'm sorry, sir.
Value addition to
net
block as a company.
That's 78%, right.
78%. And for FY23, we have ended the year at value addition has been 92% of the net block.
Okay.
And going forward, we will be going beyond the 100 number. To give one example is, For FY22, the auto powertrain value addition has been 106% of the net block. For FY23, it is 103%. You have seen a dip, but I think that will get corrected because depreciation is very high on the auto powertrain, which is the biggest and oldest segment of the CapEx related business, I would say. So we are creating some headroom there. So we will be moving as a company to above 125% in the time to come on the value addition to net block. So that is answers the question of improving ROCEs as we move forward.
Great. So that clarifies the question. And sir, in basically again coming back to our core business, you know, are there? I mean, one of the large product is one of the large customer is Daimler, right? In some sense, which is like a deemed export for us. Are there more such orders in the pipeline where the share of deemed export can increase going forward in the next 3 to 5 years without naming the customer? But are we working on those kind of RFQs? Are we working on validation for those kind of orders?
Yes, it is happening. Or we have multinationals within India who have set up plants, are just beginning to start their trial productions or in the stage of ramping up. All those orders are with us. Both in the construction equipment, in the SUV segment, in the farm segment, these are all multinational companies. And more companies are setting up base here. And this, I would say, Make in India policy of the government is also helping us in a great way. The China plus one policy is really playing out now. And we are very small. I mean, I will answer your question differently. It's simply we are, as craftsmen, we are simply too small to grab any big opportunity. So we continue to increase our capacities, keeping an eye on improved ROCEs. We are not going to make any rash, big decision making. But I think there is enough headroom to scale up the company in all the three segments of the business.
Sure, sir. That's very clear. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll come back in the view for more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Joseph George from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, you are on.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. So just, you know, one question. You mentioned that you target growing 20% across the categories, I mean, across the three segments. So in the powertrain segment, you know, when you look at the end market, such as tractors, construction equipment, etc., you mentioned that things are soft. And similarly, you know, MHCV segment on a high base of a 50% growth last year, you know, the expectation is that it might grow 10-12%. So if the underlying industry growth volumes are going to slow substantially compared to last year, how do you target getting to a 20% growth in the powertrain segment?
Okay, I'll go on the powertrain segment by segment. First, I will talk about the simpler segments. On the tractor, it will be flat or negative this year. This is what is our opinion. But the contribution of farm sector to the entire powertrain will be around 20%. So I think we have added some more new customers. So still, we'll be growing marginally. On the passenger vehicle segment, which has been insignificant looking at it for the powertrain, which is... even if you look at the year FY23, we are only at 10% of the powertrain business. There we are significantly growing with our key domestic customer who is scaling up. Their vehicles are selling well and they are in the second phase of increasing expansion. Now, off-highway vehicles has been already muted in the last financial year and we see some traction coming back from Q3 onwards, which we are pretty confident. So we will see growth on the off-highway. Commercial vehicle business, we have grown from significantly in the last few years. There, the trucks which are getting sold now, I think you may be aware that the 50-ton trucks is gaining a lot of traction overall. So the value addition per truck on the higher tonnage trucks is better for Craftsman. So this is one of the key factors. Second thing is about the deemed exports is also increasing there. And plus there are some, the engine also has moved to higher horsepower. You might have noticed that 230, 250, 280 horsepower is now declining in sales. And 280 onwards, now up to 300, 350 horsepower is gaining traction. There also the These are 6.7 liters engine or 7 liter engines. Earlier it was 5.6 and 5.9. So there also we are having higher value addition of the bigger engine capacities. This is also giving the growth in sales for us, revenue for us.
Understood, sir. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
On top of it, sorry, I failed to mention on the off-highway vehicles and also the diesel generating sets. The multinationals are setting up a stronger export basis. We have 1, 2, or 3 major orders which we will see production starting from Q3 onwards. Orders were won around 2 years, 1.5 years ago, and these are multinational American companies mainly. I think there we will see traction from Q3 onwards. These are not for commercial vehicle. These are maybe for generators or for construction equipment for overseas markets.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Powertrain business, how was the mix in FY23 in terms of the CVs, BVs?
Sorry, I'm not able to. Clarity is not there in the call, please. I don't know whether it's speakerphone, I'm not sure, please.
In powertrain business, how was the mix in FY23 in terms of the commercial vehicle, passenger vehicle, tractor, and off-highway vehicles?
Yes, commercial vehicle was 53%, off-highway 20%, tractor 15%, and passenger vehicle, mainly the SUV, is 10%.
Okay, sir. Actually, you had won new business from the PSA. So, will it be the part of the standalone or it will be under subsidiary?
No, it will be standalone and it will be on the aluminium products business.
Okay, and when it will be reflected?
It is started in a small way. It is Q3, it will start reflecting on numbers.
So, what is the current mix in the standalone aluminium business in terms of the two wheelers and passenger vehicle?
The aluminium business, the mixture of two-wheeler, yeah. In aluminium business, the percentage commercial vehicle is 10%, two-wheeler is 66%, passenger vehicle is 2%, other automotive aluminium is 5%, and non-auto aluminium is 17%.
Thank you, sir. And my last question is related with the tax. This quarter tax has gone down 12.4%. So, have you got any benefit because of the consolidation of the enterprises? And what would be the effective tax rate in FY24?
So, we have adopted permanently to the new tax rate, and this will continue. We cannot go back to the old tax rate. We have done our calculations that we do very, very big capex only, we stand to lose on the tax. Otherwise, we stand to gain as a company. So I think we have gone to the 26% tax rate. This is a permanent move.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from BCMPL. Please go ahead.
A couple of data points. Could you help me with the gross block numbers for Craftsman and DR Axion for FY23 end?
There we have to take it with a pinch of salt because when we moved to Ind AS, I think in 2016 or 17, I'm not sure. That time when net block became the gross block. So the real gross block is standalone for Craftsman, it's more than 3,000 crore. But what appears as gross block in our last 3-4 years in the our balance sheets, I will just read out the number of gross block. The the correct number is 3,600. Will not appear in the gross block, but the Ind AS what is showing as the gross block now? No, that is the Craftsman standalone gross block. The actual number is 3,135. DR Axion is around 500. So the actual gross block is 3,600. But what will appear in our balance sheet for Craftsman will be lower than the 3,130, which will be $2,000. 2,800.
Got it. Next is on the employee costs. If I was looking QOQ, last quarter the employee cost was 58 CR. After 2 months of DRX and consolidation, it has increased to around 61 CR. And as a percentage of revenue, it has gone down. So has the entire 2 months, so is it that DRX and operations are less employee intensive? Is that the reason it has gone down as a percentage of revenue?
See, it is a foundry business, so more of this it is coming under the contract, and it's only 2 months which has been added. So we have more of permanent people and less of contract. So with the, I think the there it is more of the job contracts which are there on the activities which are there. Okay, so that will be a distortion of the actual outflow towards manpower cost. As I know, the total manpower cost is between 4% and 5% of the top line, direct and indirect both put together.
Got it. And if I see DRXN's employee strength, I don't know which number is this. FY2022, the number I had got is 387. Is that contract plus permanent or only the
permanent? No, that is only the permanent people, it's not the contract. Yeah.
Okay, and where would this 387 be in March end 2023?
It has been around the same number, there's no change. Not significant change. There may be a 5% plus minus, that's all.
Thanks a lot.
We to add to whatever questions you're asking, consciously Craftsman standalone and in the future DR Action also, which we will implement, is that to keep the headcount around the same level which you have succeeded for the last, at least in Craftsman you have succeeded for the last 2-3 years because of a judicious investment, because inflationary cost on the manpower cost is the most difficult. Skilled manpower is availability is a problem, and this is a big, it's a fixed cost, and when in fluctuating markets, there's a big drain on the EBITDA margins. So consciously, we don't want to increase the headcount. We are investing a little for automation, more modern machinery, better work practices to keep the headcount at same and keep the growth. So what is the real increase in the outflow of Craftsman salary is more related to the wage increases.
Perfect. Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ruchit Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Sir, the line for you is not very clear.
No, it's not clear. Plus, can you keep your phone closer to the mic or off the speaker, please, if you don't mind?
Can you hear
now?
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Please. Hello.
So I just wanted to check. So you have mentioned that Craftsman would be looking at 20% growth run, and we have.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but the line for you is breaking up. You are not clearly audible, sir.
How long would the growth runway of 20% be available to us before the growth kind of starts moderating or slows down?
We have clear visibility for at least 3 years. That is very clear. And I am confident about 6 years for the simple reason is the geopolitical situation and the market in India is growing after many years of subdued growth. Infrastructure is going to grow. The people's aspirations are growing. And plus this China plus one is, we are still very, very small compared to the global footprint. If I may say, my learned audience will know better. They are more clued to the entire global. But I just want to throw a number. It might not be very accurate. But China contributes 48% of the global GDP for manufacturing GDP, I would say. And India contributes 5% of the manufacturing GDP for the global. So I think we have a good headroom for 50% or 700% growth in manufacturing in the country. So as Craftsman, I think the opportunity is much more. Not everybody will be trying to grow. I think we are still very, very small in the global size. So I would say that 6 years... is very clear, and 10 years is, we cannot, I'm bullish on the 10 years also, but to investors, I would say 3 years is firm, and 6 years is surely achievable, and we are working towards 10-year growth.
Great, that's great to hear. Just on the safer side, like what would be the possible scenarios where that might be a challenge?
I think thanks for asking the question. You touched upon a very touchy subject, but important subject. Since you asked the question, I think it's fair for me to answer it correctly. I think we are facing some headwinds on the raw material supply of castings. We are still working with our foundry partners. We are trying to leverage as much as possible our relationships and grow. Yes, we will continue to grow that, but we may be forced to little backward integrate, but we will not have any impact on our P&L or ROC or anything like that. But if it is going to hamper our water power train growth, aluminium we are totally fully integrated, right, top to end to bottom. But on cast iron, it's impossible for us to be fully integrated. We will cooperate. We will work with our foundry, esteemed foundry partners to grow their business and grow our business together. But if we find that this is going to be a bottleneck in our growth of the 20% CAGR in the auto powertrain in the years to come, we may do little backward integration, which we are fully capable of.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi, Chairman and Managing Director, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for patiently going and attending the conference and patiently going through the Q&A. And thanks to all of you that I had very, very important questions being asked to me. I think we are going to be growing very fast, as well as we are in very interesting times. The wind is blowing in India's direction, that far I can tell you. There is normal hurdles, infrastructural issues which are there, but the government is focused, the whole world is looking at us. This is the opportunity for India growth story to happen. This I am confident for the first time that the opportunity is open for everybody on a level playing platform. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Craftsman Automation Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.